Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Life, call his wife, and
403
to say, but
on this Monday morning, on the week of baseball's return. We'll see you Thursday. That's right, 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side taking your phone calls for one more hour until the warm-up show. But yes, baseball is back. The rosters are being finalized. I want Beatty as the second baseman. For the New York Mets, we've talked about their rotation. We obviously opened up the show about St. John's as well, as we put a bow on the St. John's season, this spectacular year that we all got wrapped up in. This year that has excited the city to put the program and the school back on the map. And yet, for me, it's hard to come away with that. I know many St. John fan wants to, right? Oh, what a great year. It's a building block. In today's college basketball and today's college sports, I just don't see building blocks. This is not a group of young kids who are going to benefit from the lessons they've learned in this NCAA tournament. They're going to go out and buy new players. It's a different world. He's going to go to the portal. He's talked about not recruiting high school kids this year. They're not even looking at high school kids. Like, he's out there wheeling and dealing, buying free agents. That's what college sports has become. And the idea that this was some sort of loss they need to make that next step, or this is a two seed in a chalk tournament. Every other two seed's there. You just heard every team in the Sweet 16 is from a big conference. The 10 seed Arkansas Razorbacks, who beat St. John's, are the highest seed left. You can argue, yes, you know, Clemson lost to McNeese. Memphis lost as a 5 seed. But you could argue that in this uber chalk tournament this year, that St. John's, as a 2 seed losing to a 10, is the worst loss of the tournament. And when you get into how they played and how they shot and how all of our fears came to fruition, all the things we thought would hold this team back did. And also, defensively, they weren't nearly as good. Right? They've been a second-half team, and yet the first 8 minutes of the second half, it felt like Arkansas was getting to the basket at will. The offense was completely stagnant. They stopped feeding the ball into Ejiofor, who had 16 points in the first half. Both teams are in foul trouble, and I know God knows the refereeing has got to be the main issue. It wasn't a well-officiated game. I don't think anyone would argue. The last foul on Richmond, the foul him out, clearly was a terrible call. But at the same time, that's not why they lost. They lost because they couldn't hit a shot. They lost because they didn't defend as well. They lost because they had a poor game plan to not feed the ball more into Ejiofor. And to me, it's a disappointing loss. And it's one where it's, instead of feeling like, okay, hey, tough loss. They didn't play well. You knew they had trouble shooting from the outside. But, hey, this is a great first step, and nobody expected this. And, you know, Patino turned the team around in 2 years. Okay, yes, he did. He did. And maybe that's a bit faster than we would have thought. But we all thought the team was getting turned around. We all thought the school was going to be back to prominence on some level. Maybe not already 2 years in having winning streaks longer than any team since 1984, or the first time they've won the regular season and Big East tournament in the same year since 1980, God knows what. And, you know, first time they've won a playoff a tournament game since 2000, and largest margin of victory ever in a tournament game for St. John's and all that stuff. Great. It doesn't erase all of that, but when the game ended, I didn't think, well, what an unfortunate end to a wonderful year. I thought, what a missed opportunity. What a missed opportunity. And then obviously you get into what happened with R.J. Lewis and not being played the last 5 minutes of the game, and then the way Pitino handled it in the postgame. Like, I didn't like any of it. It makes no sense to bench him. He's the Big East player of the year. Can you imagine any other team in this town not playing their best player down the stretch of a game? Can you imagine? I don't care what he shot. And I know, I wish John Starks was taken out of the game in the 94 finals. Yeah, sure you do. I get it. We all do. But it's not like anyone came in. The entire team was shooting terribly. Nobody was hitting a shot. It wasn't like his replacements were playing better. That I can understand. Say they gave him a blow with 9 minutes left in the half, or in the game, rather. And when they brought in, their bench pieces, they came in and played better, and the offense took off. Okay, then you don't put them back in. Fine. Nobody was shooting it well. Nobody. They shot 9%. From three, 28% from the floor. And you have your best player, the Big East, after Richmond gets fouled out, no less? That's the message you sent to the team? We're benching our best players? And then after the game, he's like, well, you know why I did it. No. It wasn't it's a leading question. You know why I did it. It wasn't a leading question. It was what everyone wanted to know. The broadcast didn't know. The entire broadcast had no idea why you were doing it. None of us had any idea. But then you get into the postgame and it's like, well, I mean, you know why I did it. I'm not going to knock a player. Oh, you're not going to knock a player? You're not going to kill a player? Let me take you back a year ago when you killed your entire team and you said they were unathletic and slow laterally and just not good enough. And it was the worst coaching experience you've ever had in your life. Don't tell me you don't kill your players. You kill your players all the time. You just took, hopefully, your returning star player, Big East player of the year, and you embarrassed them in front of the whole country in a standalone game for the last 5 minutes of a do-or-die tournament game. Now, I don't know if they would have won the game if he played, but I can't imagine taking him out. So you got not feeding, so you had the team didn't play well, the coach had two huge mistakes, one game plan and one benching, and not getting the ball more to Ejiofor down the stretch and into the paint when, because of the officiating, which was equally bad for both sides, Arkansas was in foul trouble. They had one big man fouled out. They had another one on the bench because of fouls. And you're not going to Ejiofor. Like, none of it made any sense. So I came away from that game more frustrated than some sort of overall great feeling about where the program is. I got to be honest with you. That was a terrible loss. They should have won that game. They should be playing on Thursday. It's a missed opportunity because you don't know. We could talk about where the program is and where it's going to be. And I agree. This isn't some sort of, this is the last opportunity they'll get, but it might be. I don't know. Maybe they won't be a two seed again. Maybe they won't be Big East champion again. Who knows if they have this good an opportunity ever again? Do I think they'll be good? Yes, because Pitino will run a good program. He will get the right kind of players. They have the Madison Square Garden is it half their home games? But they have Madison Square Garden. They have the money. They have Pitino. They're going to have a good team. Like, I fully believe that. I'm not saying this is the end of St. John's. Next year should be another promising year. But you don't know. You have no idea. I hate to do this with Jerry outside, but everyone had better expectations for Rutgers with two of the top three players in college basketball on their team. You don't know. You don't know. I I understand it was year one, but it ends in a massive disappointment, and that's what is stuck with me today. And then we get to the Jameis Winston. I was actually the first person I had a chance on Friday, as the story broke just as I was coming on, filling in for Keith last Friday night. Jameis Winston to a two-year, $4 million per year contract, which I think the contract really perplexes people because it's backup money, right? Locke was paid $5 million last year, so you're giving him less money than Drew Locke is. And yet, for me, I can't imagine another veteran quarterback is coming. Maybe I'm wrong. Obviously, they still have money to do so. Obviously, you know, they're still out there. I don't think it's a coincidence that Friday Aaron Rodgers spends all day, what they say, 6 to 8 hours with Pittsburgh, and then suddenly Jameis Winston is signed. I would imagine they got either a clear indication or flat out told that Rodgers is not coming to the Giants, so they got to a number with Jameis Winston where it made too much sense to wait. Plus, how long can you wait without having at least a veteran quarterback? So, like, is the idea that if Aaron Rodgers calls them tomorrow and says, hey, I want to be a Giant, can that still get done? Yeah, it can still get done. $4 million to Jameis Winston won't stop that, but I just find it very hard to believe it will. And then even Russell Wilson. Why would you bring Russell Wilson into this team right now to what? Have a competition with him and Jameis Winston? Are you just going to give Russell Wilson the starting job over Winston and make him a backup? Because I'll be totally honest with you, I'd rather see Winston play and throw the football down the field. And not because it's more entertaining, but because it actually helps develop some wide receivers. I do think that Brian Daboll and Jameis Winston can be an interesting combination, because the one thing that Brian Daboll did as a Giants head coach, if I could point to one thing that Brian Daboll did as a Giants head coach, that was the most positive thing he's done in his 3 years here, which has involved a lot of losing in one very special year. To me, the most significant thing he did as a coach was be able to coach the turnovers out of Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones was a turnover machine to go along with his poor offensive production, whether it be interceptions or fumbles. And famously, after a bad red zone interception in Tennessee week one, he coached the damn turnovers right out of him, and he became the least turned over quarterback in the league that year. If you could get Jameis Winston to limit the turnovers, if you can do what the Lord has not been able to do yet and deliver him from pick sixes, you have a legitimately top half of the league quarterback. I do think he's that talented throwing the football. Where, I mean, he's not an upper echelon quarterback, but he is a very solid starting quarterback in this league as long as he is not turning the ball over. He's just been unable to do it. And I have no misconceptions that Brian Daboll will be able to succeed in that, but at least he's got a chance. He's proven it before with Daniel Jones. And I do think Malik Nabers grows with him. I think Slayton grows with him. I think maybe even Hyatt, who's, I believe I'm hearing reports that he wants out of New York. I don't know if that's true or not. But I wouldn't be surprised as the third pick hardly is able to get on the field in Jalen Hyatt. But he's someone who gets down the field and really only runs the one route. But you can try and attack down the field with him. And that's right up Jameis Winston's alley. So I think you might be able to see some production. You might see some, you know, big numbers from Malik Nabers. You might see some more scoring than we're used to over the last couple of years. And you've also got a guy who, yes, comes with baggage. Yes, has been accused of heinous things, dating back to his college days when he was accused of sexual assault and, you know, inappropriate with a female Uber driver and, you know, stealing crab legs or whatever from a grocery store. So he comes with baggage that, you know, is a long time ago. He's been through several different teams now. But those things don't go away. It's something the Giants are probably going to have to answer about. But it's also a guy who connects with his teammates far better than Russell Wilson does, who they need to get in touch with his PR department before they can have a conversation with him, who's requesting and demanding, you know, offices and everything else that go with Russell Wilson. I still think that Jameis Winston is probably the better guy, and especially the experience of being the top overall pick, something he can impart on a quarterback we're assuming is taken at the top of the draft. So I think it's a good signing for the Giants. I think the money makes it an excellent signing because you can literally still do anything while at least having a veteran quarterback in the room, at the worst to pair with your drafted quarterback, because I can't imagine them not doing that. So you got Jameis Winston in there. At the very least, he'll start some games. He'll throw the ball down the field. Malik Nabers will have a bunch more explosive plays than he had even last year. This offense might actually be able to score some points. The question will be, how many times does he turn the ball over? How many games can they win? And how quickly do you turn to the young quarterback? That's what will be the Giants season next year as I see it right now. The dream of Aaron Rodgers is dead. It was my dream. It has died. I can't imagine that happening. 888-808-1019. So those have been the main topics. We also talked a little baseball as we get ready for the season on Thursday. We'll do more of that. We still have two more days before we have to get ready for opening day. 3 o'clock at the stadium on Thursday, 4 o'clock out in Houston for the New York Mets. Let's get back to the calls. John in Levittown. What's up, John?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Hey, trust me. You don't want Rodgers, by the way. I don't want to get into it, but I'm a Jet fan. You don't want Rodgers. Let's leave it at that.
We'll disagree. I do. I want him desperately.
I gotcha. Listen, with this whole NIL stuff,
mm-hmm.
maybe because I'm getting older, I don't know. I feel like it's ruined it. Like you're saying, there's no building blocks anymore. And to me, like, what's the long-term effects of these people who become millionaires at 19 and 20 because of these deals? Are they motivated as much as the kids in the past? Like, this is what the NIL deals aren't supposed to be what they're making. You know what I mean? They've turned this into millionaire guys that don't deserve to be millionaires. And I can't watch it anymore. I don't know. Basketball and football for me. I used to be a big college football guy. I'm turned off by the whole, these guys getting so much money. You don't think that changes? Money changes people, Chris.
No, of course. You know? No, of course. I understand that, but I mean, I don't. When you say deserves, schools make a hell of a lot of money on them. I mean, I don't know if I agree with your deserves point. I think they do deserve to get paid. I mean, they make money for the school. Now, is it what's best for the game? Is it what's best, you know, for the idea of what college is supposed to be? No, I guess not. It's changed things, definitely. I think it's just something we'll have to get used to. But I do agree that it's hindered the idea. Like, to me, it's not like you get a couple of freshmen, you build a program. Like, we had different generations of it, right? Because we felt like there was no building box with all the one-and-dones, right? Kentucky had a different team every year, and then Duke got into it too, but Kentucky was the original, you know, one and done, where it was like, okay, you know, you get one play, you get the star player. He 5 years prior, he would have went straight to the NBA like Kevin Garnett and Kobe Bryant, but now, and LeBron James, and now they're forced to go into the NBA, college. So they'll play 1 year and then go to the NBA, and it's these one and done teams with all this super talent. And so there really wasn't a building block there. I mean, you would have to go to mid-majors. You'd have to go to, you know, or the Gonzagas of the world to get a team that had these four-year starters, these 3 and 4 year starters, where they built the program and they developed together and they played together. And then by the time they were seniors, that was the dangerous year where they had a chance to compete for a championship and they learned from losing and they got experience in the tournament and all that. Like, those don't exist anymore. Right? That's why it's like a great year one for St. John's. It's not year one for St. John's. I mean, it just so happens to be the first year that the program's back on its feet, but what's next year? Next year is its own year. Next year is not the second continuation of this year. I really don't feel that way. They might have, you know, Zuby might be back, RJ Lewis might be back, and those are two prominent players. I get it. But it's not the same. It's not like building anymore. So I don't agree with the idea of, hey, great first year. I don't see it as that. It's not a first year. It's this year. Next year will be next year. Don't call it just great year. You want to call it a great year? Fine. Great year because it rejuvenated the fan base. Great year because it put the team back on the map. Great year because you haven't had a great year in 20 years at the bare minimum. 25 years. 2000s, the last time you could even say you had a good year. Okay. But don't tell me it's year one of the many to come. It's not. It's 2024-25. Next year will be 25-26. That's all it'll be. And we'll see. And I expect that year to be good because of the money, because of the coach, because of where they are. I expect it to be another good year with a chance to hopefully compete for a championship. But will they be a 2 seed? I don't know. Will they go on winning streaks we haven't seen since the mid-80s? I don't know. Will they be as good? Will we fall in love with them the same? Will they captivate the city the same? Will we feel the same about them as they enter the tournament? Because they were supposed to, this weekend was supposed to be, I understand that, you know, Calipari and Arkansas is in a pushover, right? And you want to say they were one of the more dangerous 10s? Okay. But the fact of the matter is you were better than them all year. And they didn't show up in this game, and it's tough to take. And you're watching their best players either be fouled out or sitting on the bench in the last 3 minutes of the game, and then the coach telling you, you know why. Come on. Don't ask me silly questions now. You know why. I still don't know why. He wasn't shooting well. Oh, okay. Add him to the list of everybody else on the team.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 427, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We are getting ready for baseball season. Of course, you know what comes with baseball season, all the new food. And of course, you got to have they have the day at Yankee Stadium. They've announced all this new food. They have the reporters there. Tiramisu in a Yankee helmet. Tiramisu in a Yankee helmet. I mean, is there a more, like, perfect matching that we've never thought of before? Why in the world has no one put tiramisu in a helmet before? It's too perfect to imagine that we've gone this far into existence. I mean, we have done all kinds of things. We have made all kinds of weird, dumb combinations. I mean, I have seen sliced peanut butter and jelly. Sliced peanut butter and jelly, like little slices, like Kraft singles. You take the plastic off, you put it. But we haven't thought of tiramisu in a helmet. I mean, that's one of the better. Like, that is just, what's better than that? Like, seriously. And tiramisu works at any time of year. It could be a little cold out. It could be sweltering hot. Perfect. Little pick-me-up, little coffee in it. Some of the other stuff I saw, they have one of the newer things is also, this is like the kind of thing that you have to try even though you're grossed out by it. My wife was just like, if we go to a Yankee game and you eat that, I have to move like to a further, I can't be there while you eat it. They have like a long hot dog with chicken tenders on it. Like these, I don't know, it's like honey garlic chicken tenders on the hot dog. Not as good a combination as tiramisu and a hat, but also something when you see, like, I got to know what a hot dog and a chicken finger taste like at the same time. I have to know. Now that I've seen it, how do you go on without knowing what that's like? It might be awful. I don't know. I'm not overly optimistic about it. But it's one of those things that you see and you can't just go, eh. Like, you have to have a strong opinion on it and you have to know exactly what it's like. Otherwise, like, how do I go on? How do I go to a Yankee game from now on and not have a hot dog with honey, garlic, chicken fingers on it and then cap it off with tiramisu and a helmet? Like, what's the point of going? And I'm surprised we didn't have, like, I remember the Met announcement of all the new food. We sent down a team. Where was the team at Yankee Stadium? Where's the digital team? What were they doing? What was Gallo too busy to do to go have tiramisu in a helmet? I'd love to know. I mean, God knows it's not, putting videos of me out there. Like, what were they doing?
Still recovering from the St. John's loss.
Still recovering from the St. John's loss? Yeah, please. Gallo and Izzo, they have all kinds of ideas. Not there to check out all the new digs at Yankee Stadium like they were for the Mets. 888 808
They don't need to be there. Send you there.
That's even better. Send me there. I would have went. I would have went to Yankee Stadium and checked out all the food. Absolutely. After what was Pizzagate, then we need a good positive food story around here. You weren't here for that, right? You were gone already. Have you heard about the Pizzagate and everything that went on with Evan and all that?
I have. You guys should all pick a different name, but yes, we've all heard about this.
Pizzagate's not a good one. It was a disaster. It was a disaster. Only Evan would think three pies are enough, but I don't want to get back into that. That's impossible. That's where he gets me. Everything else, you can make excuses. Three is just clearly not enough.
I would have thought it would be enough just because I hear Nobody's here. Work here during the day anymore.
Well, I mean, that's...
So outside of pizza for his show and the one before, that seems like that's all that's in the building.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, after months of I know someone's working in this building because after months of almost nothing new, every time I walk in here, there's a different way to get here. They've opened up and expanded a new part of the building. I thought I was going to get, as I walked in here on Thursday and Friday, I know me and you were joking about it. I thought they were going to spray me down for disinfectant to make sure I thought I was walking into quarantine.
I said it looked like one of those emergency hazmat. Yeah. There's been a disaster that they set up the tent right outside of whatever it is in movies or TV. Yeah.
I walked in. It's all blue. It's all taped up.
And the weird part is now it's all uncovered and it all looks the same. So I have no idea what they did.
I was going to say all of that. It looks like they put in a closet. They took away the ice cream machine and put it in the closet.
That closet was already there, so I have no idea what they did.
I don't know what the hell they were doing.
What's worse for me is, I went to Atlantic City with Lugau and Rosenberg for the tournament, and I saw the work when I came in here Wednesday night into Thursday. They obviously were both off from that point.
Right.
So I told them about this. They're going to think I made the whole thing up.
No, I know, right.
Because not only is the construction gone, nothing has changed.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't know what they must have been
doing. I'm going to need you or Connor. Somebody's going to have to verify.
They must have been doing something with the vents or something, the ventilation above that we don't see. Because, it was all hazmated off. It was very weird. I got nervous.
And to get here, they've, we're on one side of the building. They're doing the other side. So we've come in on
I saw the entrance of front of the building.
You walk all the way through the building, loop back around, and then come back to the elevators to come upstairs.
My favorite thing about this recent construction, though, was, and I couldn't help but crack up every time, for a while, you would come out of the elevator coming down from up here, and you would walk out of the elevator, and it was just a small little hallway, and as soon as you walked out, they had a sign on the door opposite a sign on the wall opposite the elevator. As soon as the door opened up, you saw exit, and it was pointing this way. There's a wall. Do I need the exit sign? I couldn't go the other way if I tried. Why are they putting... I walk out, this way is the exit? Yeah, otherwise I turn and hit a wall. It's why do you need the exit sign? It cracks me up every time I open up the door and I see the exit sign. I'm this way, okay.
I think I have a chance at knowing the answer here. So, because for the few weeks before that, the elevators on the other side were open, so you had to turn right when you walked out.
Right.
They probably didn't want... Nowadays, you have somebody looking at their phone, not paying attention. They get out of the elevator, they turn right, and they walk right into active construction. Let's not deal with anybody complaining. Let's just safeguard ourselves.
It wasn't active construction. It was just... It was the hallway that ended.
It was drywall. Somebody could have walked right through that.
I suppose. But, I just love that exit sign. Every time I walk out, don't walk through the wall? Okay, I'll go this way. But we are starting to see the fruits of the labor. It looks nice up front, completely different. The elevator bank looks to be on the opposite side of where it was when you first walked into the building last time. So a lot of new stuff here in our new digs as we get ready to... They said about a year, and it's like August, right?
I was told 2 years, so if they do end up wrapping up in a year, that'll be ahead of what I was
talking about. Nothing ever happens ahead of schedule, so we got another year to go. I thought it was only a year.
It felt nice to see our old lobby tonight when I walked
in.
I mean, it wasn't great to have to walk the entire length of the building.
I took a peek. I kind of stuck my head behind the two the screens there. Take a look. It is weird.
We came in, I didn't even realize I was walking inside that Viacom and CBS and Nickelodeon, all those guys used to be on.
Yep. But they have all the... They went through a lot of trouble to come up with clever gardening lines. to like make the walkway and give us the direction to get into the right elevator bank. There's like all these little flowers, and we had to take a second and smell the flower wall. That's been gone for a couple weeks now. But we had all these little signs, these little flower pots. Like, they put a bunch of effort into pointing us in the right direction. I'll give them that. I will give them that. They did not let us go astray with how to walk through the corridors of this building. But yeah, every time
you somebody walked into that wall, right?
No one walked into that wall. It's impossible. You walk out of the elevator and they give you the exit sign. Like, I'm like, yeah, it's a dead end. I can't go that way. I could understand if it was like long hallways on each way and they were like, no, the exit's this way. Okay, thank you. I'm not going to walk through the wall.
Either out of habit or not paying attention, somebody walked into that wall.
I don't know. I don't know if it's possible. I thought the exit sign was a little bit redundant. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. I guess I could see Mirage walking to the wall, right? It's possible. I could see Mirage eating that tiramisu out of a helmet, though. That's for damn sure.
I am excited. I'm not going, but I know the Mets are doing their new Food at the Stadium thing on Tuesday of this week.
Mm.
I guess they can do it later because they're not opening at home. So,
right.
I mean, seeing that article and seeing what you get to try in a couple days,
yeah,
that's always exciting.
Yeah, and apparently I saw Frank the Tank was not happy with a new addition to Citi Field. They have turned what was once the pizza something or other. It was like an old pizza.
No, it was. Are you talking about the Piazza Club?
Oh, is it the Piazza Club? Oh, my God. I assumed it was pizza because they turned it from pizza to Heineken. Did I misread that?
Yes, it was. So
I got all this food on my mind. I thought it was like just like a pizza thing. They turned it into a Heineken lounge.
No, so the Piazza Club, which was sponsored by Piazza's vodka line, is now the Heineken Club. Chris, what's on your mind at 4:38 in the morning?
I was,
and you're not even a big pizza guy.
No, I'm not. But I'm thinking about the food, and I saw it change. I didn't think they would change the Piazza Club. I thought it was like just a small little thing. They had like a pizza thing, and they turned it into a Heineken thing. I didn't think they would actually change the Piazza Club.
So what people don't realize, it was not named after Piazza. It was sponsored by Piazza.
Right, right. I get it. So now he's not sponsoring it anymore? But, like, I just thought it was like...
There is pizza in there. It changes over pretty much every year. Last year, it was Prince Street.
Really? I miss Prince Street pepperoni. I'm not the biggest pizza guy ever, but every Friday, we'd get with Carton and Roberts, we had the spicy pepperoni on the Sicilian.
They had it at Citi Field last year.
Oof. So good. All right, so, yeah, now I feel sheepish after killing everybody who would apparently walk through a wall.
Shows how anti-Met you are, too, that even, like, Pizza Piazza couldn't click into place. We've played, like, two of his highlights, his returns on this show.
I was thinking about food because I was going through all the... I thought it was, like, another thing they were changing. Why would they change the Piazza Club? I thought it was a pizza thing to the Heineken. I saw it real quick with Frank the Tank complaining about it. And I thought it was... Yeah, no, Piazza Club at Citi Field is now the Heineken Diamond.
Yeah, you were probably looking to see if Frank misspelled it or had a typo,
no,
then you could kind of blame it on him.
He just retweeted the story. I figured it's Frank. They're making all the food things at Yankee Stadium. It's a Heineken thing. I didn't think they would change the Piazza Club. That's funny. That's a bad job by me. I should have read it better. I just saw it like 20 minutes ago. I had the food thing on my mind.
How long did you think that the Mets had a pizza club?
I didn't even think it was like a
pizza
club.
By the way, Steve Cohen, anybody, if you're listening, please put it in a pizza club.
I just...
my money.
I didn't even look at it. I just saw they would turn the Pizza Hut into like another place to get drinks. Like, I didn't think anything of it. That's a mistake. They shouldn't get rid of the Piazza Club.
Yeah, with the Shea Bridge, the Shake Shack, and the Pizza Club.
Don't I feel sheepish?
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Sets up high, stares at Lindor, the payoff pitch. Vientos hits it high in the air to left field. It's got legs. It's deep. It's back near the wall. It is gone! Mark Vientos has added yet another chapter to what is becoming a ridiculous postseason for the New York Mets. He's tied the game.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right. right, 4:46. McVonagle here with you for another few minutes as we take you to the warm-up show at 5-888-808-1019. Before we say goodbye, I do just want to say just for a second how sad I was and how sad we all were to hear about the passing of Brett Gardner's son, Miller Gardner, 14 years old. We heard about it during the Yankee broadcast, watching the game yesterday. And then we saw the report and we saw the Gardner family statement. 14 years old. It was hard to read. It was hard to watch the broadcast, too. I mean, I have, you know, two young boys, but 14 years old, got ill while on vacation, along with a few other family members, and he passed away Friday in his sleep. I mean, just a gut-wrenching thing to read, impossible to hear. I feel just absolutely sick about it. Our best to the Gardners. Just a terrible, terrible story. For a young man like that on vacation, looked like a, I mean, they put out a picture. He's already taller than both of his sons. They're taller than him. He was an athlete. He was a fisherman, outdoorsman. As Brett, you know, grew up on a farm and loved all of that. So, you know, Brett was a beloved Yankee. Kind of felt like the de facto captain for a while without being the captain. Was kind of the last guy of that 09 championship team to still be around. They've had trouble and left since. And one of the more, you know, beloved recent Yankees. And to hear that story and to have Girardi, who managed them for all those years, be on the broadcast, it was really tough. And obviously also the Mets manager, Mendoza, obviously spent a lot of time, played with him, he said, in the minor leagues. And has two boys as well, and their boys were close and had to, you know, coach Brett. And, you know, with these teams, the families are always around, the kids are always around. So I'm sure, you know, Miller was well known throughout the Yankee organization to all his teammates and coaches. It's a tragic passing of a young man, 14 years old. It's just impossible, very difficult to even watch that and hear that and then read that and to find out it happened on vacation. It's just a tragedy. So my best to the Gardners, our thoughts and prayers are with them. And I know Bernadette wanted to talk about it real quick. Bernadette in Oceanside, how are you, Bernadette?
I'm very sad, like you, Chris.
Yeah, it was.
I really am. Yeah. A parent should never have to bury their children.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. It's just something that is out of the norm
for
our society. And do you know anything about any of the details of what happened?
No, I know he was on vacation. That's it. I'll be totally honest with you. I haven't tried to find. It's very difficult to even think about. But he was on vacation. He got ill. They said along with several other family members. So I don't know if it was a food thing or I don't know. I don't even want to speculate about it. It was, but it's a tragedy. And you're right. We should. You know, no parent should have to bury their child. And 14 is. It's just,
oh my God.
It's impossible to even think about. You know, like I have two young boys myself, and it's. I can't imagine.
I have, you know, children that are, you know, in their mid-30s, but if I ever had to bury one of them, you would have to put me away. You would.
No,
I would need to be in a rubber room because I would be devastated.
No, I understand.
I'm devastated for them.
No, of course.
I really am.
Yeah, no, I mean, I and thank you for the call. Of course, we're all devastated for them. It's an impossible thing to go through. And it was I'm watching the game and they just, you know, so I regret to inform, I hate to break this news to everybody or however Michael Kay put it, they did a good job with it. But like, it was the last thing I was expecting. So yeah, very, very sad. There's no doubt about it. Maury and Belmore. What's up, Maury? Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro, Christopher. It's been a while.
It has been. Where you been?
I've been in London and California and
just quick. I thought you were just going to say too busy for me. Not you actually traveling the world. What are you doing?
You can't get Odyssey in London, by the way. That makes me upset.
You can't get the Odyssey app in London?
Cannot. It won't let you because it says Odyssey. It was not let you listen. Yeah, it's not
really.
Fair.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I get international calls.
Yeah, you get into. They're probably on the computer.
Okay, on the app. Okay,
not working.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you could listen to it on the fan on the laptop, but you know,
I got
also 4 hours ahead. But listen, very sad. what I would do to have gotten a banger's bat under the
dugout. Yeah, I mean, listen, a lot of people have. Earlier this year, I got a bunch of calls about bring Gardner to help Jason Dominguez in left for spring training. I've been talking a little bit about Brett Gardner because we've gotten some calls about where is he? You know, I don't think he's in good standing with the organization. I don't think he was thrilled about how it ended, his Yankee tenure ended.
No.
They gave him a 2-year contract and then they opted out of the second year, and I think he's been frustrated with how it ended, but so we haven't really seen him around at all, but that's just, I mean, it's devastating news.
Yeah, it's devastating, and my boys and everything, just anybody that has a kid or family, it hurts. And then, you know, just going back to the game, the Red Storm game, out-coached, and he got out-coached. I'm sorry, when you got guys with 3 fouls, and he's bringing those guys back in because he doesn't care if they foul, Patino didn't call timeouts. He just didn't handle the game right. I love the squad. I love what they did. He just got out-coached one game. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't even know if he got out. When you say out-coached, it makes me think that, you know, the game.
Not the whole game.
Well, not even. I just think he did. I think he had a bad game. I don't know if he was necessarily out-coached. Yeah. I don't know if Calipari did anything that makes me think he out-coached him, but I don't think Rick had a good game. That is fair. I don't think Rick had a very good game.
That's fair enough. You know what? Maybe I'll take the
yeah, I mean, I'm parsing words with you. I just don't like the idea. I don't think Calipari I don't think he was outmaneuvered. I think he just had a bad game. I think he shouldn't have pulled Lewis. He should have went to Edgefor more in the second half.
Yeah.
Like
down low.
Yeah, down low. And I'm surprised with the way they were shooting, not to try and get to the basket more and give it to him where it was working in the first half. So
and
I was puzzled.
It feels good to be back to listen to Mike Christopher in the morning.
Well, I'm glad you're back. Thank you very much, Maureen. I'm glad you don't feel disrespected like Ralph. Ralph is very unhappy with me. I don't know what I did, Ralph. I feel like we talked about the monkeys. I felt like, you know, I appreciate you. Sometimes the calls can be short, Ralph. That's how it goes. Ralph was very upset with me this morning, if you didn't hear. It happens. I'm not going to please everyone. I'd like to. At least enough where you don't have to call me and yell at me. But hey, that's what happens. I'm sure people aren't going to be happy as we move forward and get into baseball season. And I'm an obnoxious Yankee fan. Getting back to Yankee Hot Stove every morning. 4-5. But it should be a great baseball season. I'm really looking forward to it. And again, you know, I think it's going to be a fun dynamic with the two teams, and I think Soto and Judge are going to be a daily. I'm telling you, and Judge has had a miserable spring. He finally hit a home run, while Soto's had an incredible spring, and I wouldn't be surprised, like last year, if Judge, you know, isn't great out of the gate, and Soto's flying, and it's going to be, oh, Soto is so much better than Judge. This is a joke. Plus, he's younger. He's here for 15 years. He can't hit in the playoffs either. You know, there's going to be that dynamic of who's better on a nightly basis. They play the same position. They used to be teammates. Now they're crosstown rivals. Like that, the Judge Soto thing is going to be very interesting. And I have to say, I went on a big rant on it Friday night. I'm sure it was podcast. It better have been podcast. About the comments in Sports Illustrated about not knowing where the Yankees are going to be in the next 6 years, which I find patently ridiculous. Like, if there's any franchise in sports where you can be confident where they're going to be in 6 or 7 years, it's the New York Yankees. I mean, my whole life, you have to go back to 1992, the last time they had a losing season. Now, yeah, they haven't won a World Series since 2009, and I'm not telling you they're going to be World Series champions 10 times over in the next 6 or 7 years, because that would be impossible with the quick math, the way I just said it. But you get my point. But the idea, like, even if he said, because that's what he told Sports Illustrated that, well, you know, the Yankees are good now, but I guess the Yankees are always number one. But looking forward, you know, I know they're going to be good for the next 3 or 4 years, but I don't know about after that. Like, please. That's such garbage. I mean, they're saying anything now so that he won't have to admit that money had a role in it. I mean, they put together a 2-part documentary series about the signing just to make it clear it wasn't about money. And now, you want to say you believe the Mets have a brighter future? That doesn't even bother me. We can have a discussion on that. I'll disagree with you, but we can have a discussion on that. You want to say, listen, I feel like the Dodgers are better. I feel like the you know, the Mets are better well-run. I look at the farm system of the Red Sox. I think they're going to be better over the next 10 years. Like, we can all have that discussion. But the idea, like, I would have signed with the Yankees, or I was considering the Yankees, but I just don't know where they're going to be in 6 or 7 years. Like, shut up. Are we serious? There's not another franchise in sports that you could feel more confident in, that have a better track record. Why? Because Judge isn't going to be there in 5 or 6 years? I'm sorry, did the Yankees start in 2017? Like, that one really got me. Because it's just, it's more BS to try and push it anywhere except I signed for the biggest contract. I signed for the money. And I'm not even saying that's the only reason. I agree, there were reasons. And he might very well feel like the Mets with this owner are in better standing for the long term. But don't tell me you don't know where the Yankees are going to be. You know where they're going to be. They're going to be one of the highest payrolls and one of the best teams in the league. That's where they're going to be. I mean, it's absurd. That's what they've been since 1992. And, oh, I don't know where they're going to be. I'll tell you. In the playoffs. And I hope the Mets are there because, let's be totally honest, the Mets, the Yankees have had this high payroll. Everyone's complaining of the payroll. They should have more. They should win more championships with the payroll. Anyone could do this with the payroll. I could be Brian Cashman. I could be Aaron Boone. I could do this. When they spend this kind of money, I could do it. I could do it. I could do it. Well, the Yankees have had one of the higher payrolls in the sport, and most of the time over this tenure, the highest payroll in the sport. But they've had this kind of payroll since 1990. Let's just go back to 1993. And they haven't had a single losing season in that time period. Not a single one. 30-plus years, not a single losing season. The Mets have had the highest payroll in baseball for the last 3 years. They had a losing season 2 years ago. They couldn't go 2 years with the highest payroll in baseball without a losing season. The Yankees went 30. And I'm not trying to knock the Mets because I do think the Mets' future is bright. I do think Stearns is smart. I do think this owner will spend. I do think the organization is headed in the right direction. And they very well might have a better next 6 or 7 years than the New York Yankees. I don't know. It's plausible. But don't stand with the Mets now and say, well, I wasn't sure about the Yankee future. Please. It's absolute garbage. Because I can tell you right now, I mean, if you're listening to my voice, and you're a Yankee fan, if you're in the car, you're at home, you're wherever, you're getting ready for work, you're putting on your tie, whatever you're doing, if you're listening to me and you're a Yankee fan, I can pretty much make you a guarantee. Of all the teams you root for, nobody's done better by you than the New York Yankees. And of any of those teams you root for, none of them are you more secure are going to be good in the next 10 years than the New York Yankees. So Juan Soto saying he wasn't sure about the future of the Yankees is absolute BS. Anything but the money. That's it for me. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being so respectful. That's the kind of relationship we have. Thank you, Fliegelman, on the other side. Everybody enjoy the rest of your Monday. We got the warm-up show coming up. I believe Chris Lopresti will be involved in it. Should be fun. And then we get the rest of the week as we start to really transition into the beginning of baseball. As we got opening day on Thursday. Everybody enjoy the rest of your Monday. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.